following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 87 for Thursday, March 31st, 2011. Focus! Focus! Who's supposed to start?
Oh, was I switching to that?
I don't know.
Huh.
I'm not always the one who has to start.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting, wonderful edition of Tech Access Weekly.
Yeah, well, we're here.
Yeah.
A day late, but we're here.
We were just thinking that we should record the pre-show so that we could have some outtakes, but we do not do that because we are lazy editors.
Yeah, well, there's just not a lot of time.
That's true. And she keeps going, focus!
Focus! Just like Michelle. Concentrate! Concentrate!
Yes.
The only thing I remember from American Wedding.
Actually, it was the grandmother of...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was the grandmother of the bride-to-be.
Oh, see, I don't even remember the movie.
She was getting jiggy with Stifler. Bad movie.
Oof. Did I even watch it?
Yes, we watched it. Oh. I don't believe we watched it twice, but we watched it.
The first movie was good. The second movie was...
Not quite as good, but not that bad. And then American Wedding was... Hmm.
Okay. We need to focus!
Okay. Well, see what you did?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode. Hopefully it will be a short one, but you know that's what we always say, and it never is type
yes.
of thing. We do want to start off with some listener mail.
Well, first of all, we should tell everyone that it is happy belated number 2 pencil day. That
yeah.
is March 30th. Today is apparently Back Up Your World day, March 31st. So back up everything you have, computer and all such. And here in the United States, it is Play Ball Day because it is the first day of the Major League Baseball season.
Yay!
So you can download the MLB app for your... iPhone
device,
and you can listen to games.
I don't know if it's accessible or not. I'll have to test it.
I believe it was last year, but I could be wrong. I have not tried that as of yet because I just don't get into spring training baseball.
Yeah, I will.
And now on to listener mail.
Yes, Tyler sent us a message, dropped us a line, and said that he has just purchased a Jawbone. We were talking about the Jawbone Bluetooth headset a while back, and he says that it works very well with voiceover and audio streaming on his, I'm not sure if he has an iPhone or...
He has an iPhone.
iDevice of some sort. Yeah. So he says that the Jawbone is a very good headset, a Bluetooth headset for that.
Yeah, because he was wondering about voiceover coming through and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
About a month or so ago. So I guess he finally made a decision and purchased the Jawbone.
Good for him.
In mail that I sent over to the folks at Cerotech concerning the DocuScan Plus and Hover, it seemed like it was a little confusion as far as the Blind Bargains review and their town hall meeting that they had last night.
That crashed.
Evidently, there were either too many people listening or not enough bandwidth. Wait, maybe that's probably the combination there.
Yeah. I don't think there was much left. I think they were about to wrap it up anyway.
I seem that way. So it might be good to download that and get Mike Calvo's viewpoints on the way of the world and what he thinks of Blind Ghetto.
Yes. I regrettably had to miss that. But anyway, back to...
Focus.
Focus.
That might be the whole thing for the whole day show. DocuScan Plus... we'll be coming out with a Mac version. Apparently, if you purchase the DocuScan Plus for $299 and have the Windows version, it also entitles you to receive the Mac version as well. So you'll get all platforms for one price. The HoverCam is $499 that you can purchase to go along with DocuScan that will take pictures of documents, books, and pages as you wish. I think we last week had said $3.99
for the HoverCam, but it's $4.99.
Yeah, so it's $2.99 for DocuScan Plus and $4.99 for the HoverCam to go along with it. That comes with the little nice
folding docking station thing,
docking station and mat and everything that you can line things up with. You can get a seven day trial of DocuScan Plus by going to DocuScanPlus.com.
Yes, okay. Indeed.
Shameless plug, and thank you to Ranger Joe for assisting with that. You can follow him on Twitter at Ranger Station. Okay, there. We gave him his plug.
Hope he's happy now.
Yeah. And we should also thank Brian Watson for acknowledging our tip.
Yeah, he put our Dragon Search tip from last week on his blog, Access Tech News. So we want to thank him for that.
Yes, very much so. And if you are looking for a very high-tech travel mug thermos, you can check out our thermos, 16-ounce King Thermos travel mug. That is non-spillable.
Daily tip number, what is it?
I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. What was the number?
Would have been 178, I believe.
Yeah, so it was from yesterday, 178.
But yeah, it's great little device that will help you to protect your keyboards and such as to not spilling.
Yes, it's built like a tank, as one of the reviews on Amazon said. But it's very lightweight and, well, listen to our tip.
Yes. And someone knows how it is to spill things.
Yes, very much so.
But I digress.
And focus.
Yes. Mm-hmm, focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty. Now we will head over into updates and security type stuff. We'll just sort of ramble along with it here.
Yeah.
Mac OS X 10.6.7 was released last week. This will address the MacBook Air 13-inch that came out in the fall of 2010. It is going to fix a issue where iTunes would cause the system to come to a screeching halt. And there was also a problem with the screen flickering with some video playback. So that should also be fixed in that as well, along with possibly some other little goodies. But I did not find a real description of everything.
iOS 4.3.1 came out last week for GSM phones only.
Yes, so you people on Verizon can just sit there and go, wah, 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 because you don't get it. This will fix a problem with video glitches in the iPod Touch, as well as connectivity problems getting to cell networks on the iPhone 4. And there's also a problem using the connection from the iPhone to HD televisions where the screen would flicker and video playback would be irritatingly bad.
So apparently that's been fixed. And some people notice a big battery drain with the new update. I never noticed that. But some people on Twitter have been saying that it's been sucking the life out of their batteries.
Yeah, I haven't really paid that much of attention, but I do know that if I play podcasts all day at work, it does seem like it might go down a little faster than what I used to have.
I don't use mine that much. Let's just face it. You know, to pay attention.
Yeah.
So
you should just have a feature phone.
I use it a lot, but I don't listen to as many podcasts as you do. And when I'm at work, I have to listen to other stuff. So I wouldn't listen to it all day.
Yeah, and I try to avoid listening to people at work because I really don't want to know about people shaving their toes.
Oh, God. You're kidding.
No.
Ooh. That gave me a shudder.
A lady about three cubes away from me was talking yesterday, apparently, about shaving her toes.
Okay.
On a daily basis.
Focus.
Okay, back to focusing. iOS 5, which we normally anticipate to come out, be mentioned in an April announcement. Well, there's no April announcement scheduled right now. And usually that comes with an iPhone in June. But apparently hardware delays and purchases are not taking place as fast as anticipated. So it is thought that iOS 5 and the iPhone 5 will be delayed until the fall.
It's also thought that the announcement about what's going to be in iOS 5 and the iPhone 5 will occur in June at the WWDC conference. And
WWDC.
Yeah, well, whatever. WWDC. It's expected that iOS 5 will have a lot of in-the-cloud things going on with it.
Yeah, they're thinking that the, what is it, the service, that service, Apple Me, Apple.
Mobile Me,
yes. They're thinking that that is going to turn into a cloud service that will actually store your music and such and be actually turned into a free service for people. But there's no mention of that as of yet. Mm-hmm. So we will wait until the June 6th WWDC conference.
We have to stop this for an obituary announcement.
Why, yes. Twitter is now killing the very young Quick Bar, or as a lot of people have been calling it, the Dick Bar, because apparently the person at Twitter that invented it is named Dick. Now, this is probably something you're sitting there going, what in the heck are they talking about? Well, the Quick Bar was actually in the official Twitter app for iOS. It put a trending topics line across the top of your column of information, and it would also have promoted tweets where people had purchased to have their ad put up there. With VoiceOver, it kind of gives the dong, dong, dong,
dong, dong. It was not, it didn't, wouldn't read the quick, you know, Dick Bar.
Basically, it was like an iAd, but yeah, at the top of the column of data, news feed, and as you went down the screen, it would follow you. You never could get rid of it off of the screen. And a lot of people were up in air about it. I just kind of saw it as just sort of,
goofy.
Don't really care. Mm-hmm. Just looking at tweets. Mm-hmm. So they are now getting rid of it.
Oh, poor yeah, Quick Bar.
Very much so. And if you use or know anyone that uses the Twitter official app on the iOS iPhone, they will have a wonderful update today to get rid of that.
Oh. Yeah, I actually use that. I actually like that.
I thought you were using Echo Phone.
No, I use the official Twitter app.
Or Echo Phone, as a lot of people say.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Echo Phone, I think. Yeah. I use the official one more than I use Echo Phone. Oh. I don't use it that often because typing on the iPhone for me is just so slow that I don't tweet. I will occasionally look at it during the day, but not often.
I've kind of gotten to using the Echo Phone, whichever. There's no E on it, so I don't know if it's a long O or not. Anyway, focusing. I've kind of gotten used to using that because I finally realized that if I have multiple accounts, it actually will change colors based on the account.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I can instantly go, oh, I'm on the Tech Access Weekly Twitter account, or I'm on my personal account.
Oh, colors.
Yes. Very much so.
Oh,
and focus. You can even choose the colors.
Oh, now that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't even see colors, and that's cool.
Cheap thrills. Now you know what gets her by.
Yep. I am the queen of cheap thrills.
Quite true. And now that we are trying to focus again, we will now mention that Google has released 6 patches for serious Chrome 10 bugs. There is an update for the Chrome browser that takes it to 10.0.648.204.
Oh my God.
Couldn't I just call it 10.1?
Yeah, really.
It includes 2 blacklisted SSL certificates and some security and stability fixes. So if you happen to be using Chrome 10, which I believe works pretty well with NVDA, you may want to make sure that you are updated.
Yes, and Chrome 11 is now going to be in testing, and it will be released soon, I think. It includes some, I don't know, CSS fixes and other miscellaneous stuff. An article that I read said it included text-to-speech, which to me means text on the screen, and it would have, like, you know, a narrator voice that you could use to read the text and speech. But actually, that's not what it is. It is apparently you speak into your microphone and it will print the text for you. Like, I guess if you want to go to a certain website, you say HTTP, I don't know, chrome.com, whatever, and it sends it to a translation server and actually prints it and converts it into text.
Yeah, and does searches on google.com as well.
Yeah.
I don't really know how many people would use this.
I don't either.
And two, how does it impact screen reader access? That would be a good question.
That's another question to ask. I don't know. But Article Dude, you have it wrong. It's not text to speech. It's speech to text, and they're very different things.
Very much so. Now we have a happy announcement.
No, we have a bad announcement.
Bad announcement?
Netflix cut quality to Canada.
Oh, we skipped one.
Focus.
Okay. Netflix is cutting the video quality of their streaming service in Canada because of the severe data caps that our folks to the north are suffering from.
I guess it proves Canada is really a separate country.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far. They talk funny.
They say Z instead of Z. That makes them separate.
That makes them just screwy.
No, because we're the only country that says Z. Everyone else looks at us like we're nutcases. Anyway.
Yeah, but we're the right ones. Everybody should conform.
Okay, we got to focus again.
Yes, quite a bit. Anyway, there are some data caps in Canada that are 2 gigabytes of internet surfing per month.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
man.
So Netflix is going to cut back in order to assist. The current level will... The updated level, I guess I should say, will actually allow it so that in 1 month they would be able to watch 30 movies, which would end up being 8 gigabytes, I believe, of data, which means that they would be 6 gigabytes over their cap.
Wow.
Oi.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah, the United States, we don't have a whole lot of caps or severe caps like that, but it has been rumored and probably will get here at some point.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which is just going to kill everything and probably kill this podcast because we will not be able to afford to upload it.
Yeah.
But anyway, in Google News, also kind of related to this, they have awarded their gigabit internet service.
Kansas City, Kansas, everybody.
Wow. Everybody went, no, Missouri, Missouri.
No, it's Kansas.
Missouri. You sure it's Kansas?
Yes.
Huh. I don't understand why they have 2 Kansas cities real close together like that.
You know, I've always wondered that.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, me either. Anyway, moving right along.
It's probably got something to do with the Civil War 1800s thing, you know, the battle between Kansas and Missouri for territories and
they're
such.
They're not that close, are they?
Yeah, they're pretty close. They might be on top of each
the
other.
The towns.
I think they're within driving distance. But most places are within driving distance, I guess you would say. Not sure. I need my globe.
You need a map.
But anyway, they will be getting their 1 gigabit of internet service. Supposedly, they have picked Kansas City, Kansas, instead of Missouri, because the population is 140,000 and it would be more manageable.
Right.
Those people that hate their internet service maybe move into Kansas City. So we thought about queuing up
maybe there's going to be a Kansas City population influx.
That could be.
From Kansas City.
Exactly. But we had thought about queuing up the Jackson 5 singing Kansas City, Here I Come.
Yeah, but I, A, don't know where the song is, and B, it would take me about 10 minutes to get the clip out of it, and C, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, because we're focusing.
We're focusing.
Google, in an announcement, has created the Plus One.
Huh? This is just a stupid name for this thing. I mean, stupid, I tell you.
Yes, I Plus One'd it.
They're trying to create it into a verb. Essentially, what this thing does is, if you sign up for it, at this point, it is in the experimental stage, but you can sign up for it if you've got a Google profile, and it will put, when you have search results, it will put a little button by each result, and you can click the plus one button, and that is comparable to a like, as if you were on Facebook.
Yeah, so basically, Facebook is going to yell at them saying, stop copying me.
Yes, yes, and this is sort of silly. At this point, it's just come out, and I see a big hole with this. Well, okay, I found a site that I really like in my search results. Am I really going to go back to the results just to press the button?
Well, I guess if you search for it you can find the link you think you like, I guess, and plus one it before you actually go to it. I don't know exactly how that works. It's supposed to be able to help improve search results.
Yeah, and Google is apparently working with websites and things to get them to put widgets on their sites that would make you able to plus one it from their site, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like doing the like button or the dig button, you know, where you dig an article or something. Which,
and supposedly, I mean, they're going to have it so that it's going to have sort of a social component. I mean, you can see what your contacts and Google chat friends or buzz friends or whatever it's called, what they plus one, and they can see, apparently, will be able to see what you plus one. But it's only going to, I guess, affect other people who have Google profiles and
contacts. And they haven't made the mistake that Dig did, where they actually had a bury button. They had a button where if an article was actually really bad and mm-hmm. you didn't like it, you could bury it, and it would mark it down in the rankings. So basically what you had was you had competing companies going in and saying, no, we minus one that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Dig got into a lot of trouble over that, and mm-hmm. probably pretty much killed Dig, which is like almost defunct now.
Yeah, poor Kevin.
So yeah, the plus one, I'm not quite getting it. Do we really need that many like things?
Yeah,
before long, every article on a website is just going to be plus one, like it, dig it, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yahoo is trying to bounce back, breathe some life into its search engine once again. It is introducing a new thing called Search Direct.
Now Google can say, stop copying me.
Absolutely.
Because they now have the future of search.
Yahoo says, we have the future of search right here. Not only will it attempt to fill in your search for you like Google Instant does and predict your results, but it will also put up answers.
Yeah, like if you ask a question or you put an abbreviation in, it will give you answers related to that. One example they gave was like if you put in a stock quote for Amazon or Microsoft, it would bring you up stock quotes and other information related to that symbol. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. People still use Yahoo?
Search.yahoo.com. Quite frankly, I'm sort of interested. I want to go and try this out and see if it's accessible or what.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people have problems with the Google Instant.
Oh, God.
Which we also have a tip on daily
tips.
How
to turn it off.
Exactly.
And I find myself having to go turn it off every so often because Google decides to turn it back on at sort of random intervals. And so if you're a screen reader user, it does help to turn it off. There are workarounds, but, you know. It's even sort of interesting to type into the App Store on your iPhone because it tries to predict what you want to look for. And if you have your finger just underneath the search field, it can come up with some interesting results based on what you've been typing in the search string.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't realize that until recently.
Yeah, I keep looking for the Zoom reader every day, and I haven't found that either. But supposedly that's going to come out here in the next week or so. It has been released, according to AI Squared.
Apparently, hopefully the RFBND app is supposed to come out too soon.
Yes.
It was demonstrated at CSUN, but it's not out yet. But, oh, focus.
Yes, focus. We are unfocusing yet again.
Okay. From Yahoo, we move to Amazon.
Who has started a little bit of a controversy because of their newly released Cloud Drive. Cloud Locker, Cloud Drive, and Cloud Player.
Ooh.
If you haven't heard, Amazon is starting a locker service where you can actually store documents, music, and such on their servers. You get an immediate 5 gigabytes attached to your Amazon account. If you buy an album, just one album, doesn't matter how much that album cost, you get bumped up to 20 gigs of storage.
Automatically.
Automatic. Yes, this is what I'm saying. Now, if you purchase music on Amazon.com or AmazonMP3.com, as it is, that music will automatically be stored in your locker and it will not count towards the 20 gigabytes of storage. Oh. So this is thought to be similar to what iTunes is coming up with and
Google,
as far as their music service that they're supposedly working on, but yes. Amazon jumped the gun and got into it. Now the music labels are starting to get on Amazon's case because they have the right to sell the music in MP3 form, but the music labels have not been negotiated with in order to give license right to this. Amazon is quoting, I guess, a loophole in the license that sort of says you can continually download your music that you have purchased. So that's kind of what they're doing.
You can.
So that's going to be an interesting thing. Can the music labels take down Amazon? That's going to be interesting to watch.
But see, you've already purchased it. It's not like you're getting it illegally. You've already paid for it.
Yeah, but they don't want you to be able to store it and then play it everywhere. So see, you can go to Amazon's cloud player and actually play the music on the website, and presumably there will be Android and iOS device apps that you can actually play your music with.
Currently, there is an Android app, but there is not any iOS support. It doesn't like iOS Safari at this point.
Yeah, and there's also the question as to whether Apple will let it into the App Store because of duplicating iTunes service.
Right.
Or
right.
the upcoming cloud, something or
whatever.
Another.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's more interesting is if they can't get into an agreement with the music labels, this could be a real big competitor to Dropbox.
Yeah. And I was wondering, can they do it with Kindle books too? You can store your music. Could you store your Kindle books in there?
I wouldn't see why not. I mean, technically, your Kindle books are already stored on Amazon anyway, because if you open up your iOS device, your Kindle book is already there.
True.
If you open your PC version, your Kindle book is there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like there's a bookshelf out in the cloud somewhere. Mm-hmm. So,
but getting back to Dropbox, not only can you store music in this locker, but you can also store documents in there.
Yeah, and there's no word as to whether you can share the documents as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have been sort of, everybody's looking immediately at the music service, but could it be Dropbox?
The key to whether it can compete with Dropbox is going to be whether you can share.
Yeah, and there's also the consideration as to whether Amazon will actually buy Dropbox.
Oh, no!
Never know.
You never know.
Because they need an app in order to interface on iOS and everything.
Yeah.
If they took over Dropbox and created the interface, booyah.
Mm-hmm. But the key to whether this is going to steal Dropbox or whether it's a copy for Dropbox is, are they going to enable sharing on it? Because that's what Dropbox really is.
Exactly.
More so than storage, it's also sharing.
But when they start throwing out 5 gigabytes of data, that's big.
That is
definitely
big.
Because on Dropbox, you only get 2 to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But the price for storing multiple gigabytes over the 20 is like $1 a gigabyte. So
something
if
like
you
that.
Had 1 terabyte of data, it would be $1,000 a month.
Yes, I love SendSpace Max.
Yes, SendSpace Max.
I've got about 60 gigs of stuff up there.
Oy!
Yeah.
And never mind.
We have to focus.
Yes, focusing. But anyway, it should be interesting. The studios are starting to cry foul and sort of compare them to, I guess there's 2 services out there, MP3 Tunes and...
MP3 Tunes?
Yeah, MP3 Tunes is kind of a locker service that's been under fire a little bit. And there's another one that I cannot think of the name of. I could think of it before we started this. MSpot.
Okay.
I believe it is another service that will allow you to upload your music or create playlists based on your music that you have and be able to access it in other places.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
From Amazon, let us move on to another computer giant, Microsoft. They have released there are now two add-ins for Microsoft Office 2010. The first add-in, they relate to accessibility. The first one is subtitles. It is an add-in for PowerPoint. and it will allow you to put closed captions into your videos and slideshows and other PowerPoint presentations so that those with hearing impairments can follow the presentation. Another really cool add-on is the Save as DAISY add-on. The DAISY Consortium helped them develop this, and it will allow you to save Office 2010 documents in DAISY XML format. So, yay for Microsoft and accessibility.
Yay.
For once.
Yay.
And speaking of accessibility,
the much maligned Blio has finally been released by KNFB Reader.
Yes, and it is, a lot of it is accessible. There are some limitations, however. This was demoed at CSUN, CSUN, whatever you want to call it, 2011. And we did not hear about this last week before the podcast and thought it was worth covering now. It has been released. You can download it from Blio.com. It is free. It will allow you to purchase books. It's sort of like a Kindle, but not affiliated with Amazon.
Has its own sort of price structure, yes. Which they say, well, we could be more or less expensive. So
yeah.
I guess it's kind of like you go into the buying a paper book.
Just depends. And what's interesting about the reader now, though, is you are able to use a screen reader in conjunction with it to navigate and do all sorts of other cool stuff by character and sentence and word and all this kind of thing. It's in that way, because you can use a screen reader with it, it's more flexible than, say, the Kindle that operates without a screen reader. It's not an in tandem kind of thing. It has its own rules. So in that way, I guess Blio has been made accessible with the assistance of a screen reader. And if you have JAWS for Windows, you can read books in Braille. It has Braille support. It does not have Braille support for other screen readers at this time. But apparently that's in the works.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting is they sort of have the same problem as the Amazon Kindle in terms of being dictated to by the publishers.
Yeah.
Because the application will actually read without a screen reader installed, but if the publisher has that feature disabled, you're out of luck.
Unless you have a screen reader.
Yeah.
That Blio recognizes. And at this point, it only recognizes JAWS, Window Eyes, System Access, and NVDA. Of course, they will add the Dolphin products and any other screen readers, Cobra, if people want them to.
And they're also looking at doing an Android app and possibly
an iPhone app.
But no deadlines on that have been released.
Yay.
What were you thinking?
A new book is out called Ray and Me. It is by Marcy Soto. She claims to have been a mistress of Ray Charles, on again, off again, since 1968.
Woo! Go on, Ray, with your bad self.
Exactly. And she says that she robbed him of a whole bunch of money to pay off her house. She doesn't specify, the article I read didn't specify how she did it, how much money it was, and when it actually happened. But I thought it was sort of interesting that she basically said that he was supporting her and he should have paid off her house, even though I think she was married to someone else at the time. He should have done it anyway, so she just took money from him to do it, something he should have already done.
Ah, the hussy.
I know. And she said, though, she didn't think of it as robbing the blind. She thought of it as making him do something he was supposed to do anyway. However, one night when they came back from a concert, she does admit that she gave him $1 bills instead of $100 bills. She
Ooh.
Kept the hundreds for herself.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
If he only had Looktail.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeedy.
Although, granted, she could have printed them on a copy machine and he would have never known the difference.
Well, maybe. But the paper does feel different, you know.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And that paper
it's not really paper.
Be duplicated.
It's like linen and silk and stuff.
Exactly.
So anyways, she claimed she robbed him blind, as the article said, in order to pay off her house. I'd be interested to know how she said she did it.
Yeah, and do you know counterfeiting money is handled by the Secret Service here in the United States?
And you're saying this because?
Just the counterfeiting thing.
Oh.
Because most people do not know that. They think it's the Treasury Department or
No,
something.
It's the Secret Service.
Yeah.
It's We got to focus again.
Oh, okay.
We only have one more story to get through, and then we can stop this focusing thing.
Oh, good, because my head hurts.
Mine is starting to hurt, too, but I think it's from lack of food.
But anyway, a Canadian secretary at a school is looking for work.
Yeah, she's been fired because she, in her personal time, is a porn star. Apparently, she kept her personal life and school life very separate for many, many years, and then one day... a boy in the school, it is a high school with a bunch of teenage boys in it, asked her for her autograph because he had seen her in a porn flick.
Oh, snap.
Yep, and he wanted her autograph, and she told him, well, don't tell anybody. So, of course, being a high school full of teenage boys...
Dude, look what I got.
Exactly. Everyone knew about it by the end of the day. And the principal or whoever is at the head of the school said... we're not really sure we want someone who is a porn star to work at our school. It gives us a bad reputation.
Yeah, I guess her name is Samantha Ardente, A-R-D-E-N-T-E, in the adult film industry.
Ardente, yes.
She ain't that great looking, so I don't. Maybe that's why she's working at a school.
Mm. Well, whatever. She's not working there now.
Oh, dear. Oy.
Yeah. So, I didn't know which one to put in the What Were You Thinking, but...
It's good to have two strange ones.
That's true.
Because it gives people something to talk about.
Absolutely.
Which, they are probably going to be talking about the chaos that this was, where the focus was lacking.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
In an episode of Tech Access Weekly, episode
87.
You can check out the...
Bookmarks
on delicious.com/87.
Oh,
Tech Access.
Oh, yeah.
Focus! Right.
Oh, yeah.
Focus!
Okay.
Focus!
Yeah. As long as Delicious works, that is.
Yeah, we had a little problem on yesterday. Tuesday trying to bookmark things they never appeared in. And all of a sudden, boom, they're there after we had tried to create a Word document for our notes for the podcast.
Yes. Anyway, so, and if you would like to fill out our PodTrack survey, that'd be great. Visit our website, techaccessweekly.com.
We have lots of tips.
Tricks and tidbits. If you have an idea for a tip, trick, or tidbit, please drop us an email or a line or a tweet or whatever, and we can see what we can do. If you want to give us directions on how to do something, if you just have a request for something for us to cover, or even if you want to do a demo yourself.
Yes.
Let us know and we can get you set up. And that's about it for us.
Really?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I am.
Seems like this is about as long as it normally is.
Seems like it.
So we cursed it again by saying short.
Yeah.
Oy.
And on that note, we will simply say...
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.